Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
All right, got another exciting podcast for you during this All-Star break, and really pumped to bring on our next guest. He is the host, of course, of the very popular Fantasy Focus, a podcast over at ESPN. Appears weekly, Fantasy Football Now, Sunday mornings over there at the Four Letter Network, and author of The Fantasy Life, creator of RotoPass, and the man who really carries the torch for fantasy sports on a lot of levels, Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto, here with us on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Matthew, thanks again for joining us. How are you?
Dan, it's my pleasure, and allow me to be one of the many people to congratulate you and everyone at Roto Grinders on your five-year anniversary, right?
Yes.
Big five-year this week, so congratulations. It's exciting. You guys were, you know, I admire pioneers. I admire people that that blaze trails, and I think you guys are clearly among the among those that really paved the way for daily fantasy sports and daily fantasy sports content and advice. So my hat's off to you, and here's to another great 5 years.
I appreciate that. Yes, it's been quite a ride, you know, going along with the growth of the industry, and it's amazing to see how, you know, a company like ours predates something like DraftKings, which is worth like $1 billion right now. But it's been fun.
Right, it's one of those things where, like, you look at that and you're like, you know, yeah, we were in early, and then like, wait a minute. Those guys are worth $1 billion. We're not worth $1 billion. We screwed up. We were here early, and I definitely have moments like that too, where I'm like, you know, listen, fantasy sports has been awesome to me, you know, and I've made more money than I ever thought possible. Fantasy sports has introduced me to things and experiences and people that I never thought I would have. I am a truly, truly blessed man, Dan. But I would be lying if there's parts of me that say, you know, there's going to be people that make $1 billion off of fantasy sports, and I'm definitely not one of them. Where did I go wrong? Somewhere I missed that boat.
That's a very good point. I try not to think of it in that way,
yeah.
Because then I get a little depressed from time to time. But
yeah, you'll sleep better if you don't think about it that way. I don't think about it all that often, but every once in a while I'll be like, you know, actually, you know, for as blessed a journey as I've had in the fantasy sports industry, you know, I think I've made at least one or two massive, massive mistakes, clearly. Because, yeah, no question about it, there's a lot of people that are going to make a lot of money from fantasy sports.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about daily fantasy sports, ESPN.
Sure.
We've seen kind of a big shift here in coverage for you guys just in the last, you know, 6 to 12 months. More, I'd say more like 6 months than anything. And we've got, you know, Cynthia doing SportsCenter highlights. You obviously added Derek Carty both to Baseball Tonight, doing some writing for you, Renee Miller. So you're really kind of getting into the daily fantasy side of things. But it took a little while for you guys to get there at ESPN. What was the tipping point in terms of making that happen? And why do you think they waited so long to kind of get into, you know, this aspect of fantasy sports?
Well, I think it's a long, complicated answer that I won't bore your listening audience with. I will tell you that in a couple of places, right? So in general, I think, look, we are we're owned, you know, and those decisions, by the way, made way above my pay grade. So this is just my supposition. This is nothing, you know, official. I'll merely say that I think that, like a lot of big companies, like a lot of big media companies, obviously ESPN is big a media company as we are, we're owned by one of the biggest, by Disney. And so I think there was, you know, a period of time trying to figure out, you know, from a corporate level, how we felt about daily fantasy and, you know, what the attitude of the company was. And you know, we were obviously, we've been taking advertising from FanDuel and DraftKings for a long time. And, you know, even prior to that, Draft Street back in the day. And so we've sort of dabbled in it here and there, but wanted to sort of kind of, I think probably, you know, at the very highest level, people that don't normally make decisions on content and wanted to get their hands around Daily Fantasy and figure out their comfort level with it. You saw us get more into it last year, sort of generically. I would talk about, I would always try to sort of slip it in. It was always tough because it was definitely a fine line because of they didn't want us to get very specific. They certainly didn't want us to get specific about prices on certain sites. So that always made it difficult for someone like myself that, like, I'm sitting there trying to give analysis for the upcoming weekend game, and, like, I can't really say, like, you know, I love this guy on DraftKings, but he's a little too pricey for me on FanDuel or vice versa or, you know, some of the other sites as well, right? And so you'd try to, like, you know, on Fantasy Football Now, on the podcast, in my column, I would, you know, try to, hey, you know, here's a flyer, here's, you know, and if you're desperate kind of selection, and by the way, if you play daily, I think he's probably a cheap option, he's maybe somebody to consider, or he might be an interesting contrarian play. You know, you try to throw in certain things like that, but certainly, it wasn't robust in terms of what we wanted to cover, Dan, and there was definitely frustration, you know, among some of the people here at ESPN. Having said that, obviously, we as a company, in terms of Disney and ESPN, have gotten much more comfortable with it. You guys know that we've recently announced a large advertising and integration deal with DraftKings, and they're the official daily fantasy sports, I don't know if it's provider or service of ESPN. I don't know the exact term, so I apologize to DraftKings and to ESPN for that. But we're a DraftKings company. You know, that much has been made clear recently, and so I think you'll see coming up in the in the future a lot more. You've already seen, like, we do insider articles. We've been doing it for basketball. We've been doing it for basketball. We have some, you know, we have some fantasy golf articles. We have some fantasy baseball articles. You mentioned Derek and Renee specifically in terms of writing for .com. And, you know, in the case of those two, you know, Cynthia is somebody that works here at ESPN, but in terms of Derek and Renee, those are two people that, listen, we're not stupid here. We, at ESPN, we are very respectful of the daily community, and, you know, we sort of know, you know, we're very aware of, like, who's good and, mm-hmm. and, or at least we have opinions. I should say this because it's all opinion based. We have opinions here at ESPN of who is good and who would be a benefit to our readers in the daily space that have credibility there and that have been doing it for a long time. And, you know, Renee and Derek have done great work. And that's not to say anything bad about Cynthia, but, you know, Cynthia's a little bit newer on the scene. And so I think there's a, you know, there's a conscious effort, and I think you'll see some more familiar faces as the season goes on, in addition to people such as myself and others here at ESPN delving much more fully into daily fantasy.
Now, you kind of...
So there's a long answer. Did I answer that? I mean, I sort of rambled there, but well, I think you, I tried to answer. You had a couple of questions in there.
Well, you kind of took one of my questions away, but I think that it's
Which
important...
Which question did I take away?
Well, because you talked about that in the past. You weren't able to mention the sites. Is that going to change this year? Is it definitely
yes.
going to be on DraftKings, this guy is a great value play? Will you be able to utter those type
yes.
of declarations yes. on the podcast and Fantasy Football Now moving forward?
Yes, 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 yes. I don't know, to be candid, I don't know about any other site.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you I can tell you absolutely that, yes, I will be... you know, on various ESPN platforms, I will be talking about specific DraftKings. I will be able to say, like, this is a guy that I like on DraftKings. This is a guy I don't like on DraftKings. You know, here's, if you're looking for a quarterback on DraftKings, you know, I'd rather pay the extra $200 for Andrew Luck this week than
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, who's on the road at Buffalo, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? I'm like...
And that's really important, though. I mean, that was the one
yes.
thing that drove me crazy when you first started, you know, talking, referring to Daily Fantasy. And I think I even let you in on that last playoff season.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about somebody being a good value play. And boy, was he ever, I think it was on FanDuel, but not on DraftKings and vice versa. And it's just like, you know, that is really kind of at the crux of, you know, analyzing
sure, of
Daily
course.
Fantasy. And it was one thing that you didn't do, but I'm happy to hear you guys are moving forward doing that now. Now,
yeah, no, it's tough for us, you know,
sure.
and it's frustrating, and so we get it. So, you know, for your listeners that think I suck, just realize that the that in that particular case where I sucked there, That was due to forces outside my control. There's many other reasons why I suck, but that specific reason why I suck was actually not my fault. So,
and let's face it, I mean, the platform of ESPN,
sure.
I mean, it's advertising every time you utter a site's name. And I totally got why it took place, but it felt like, you know, if you're going to jump in, you should, you know, have those kind of agreements in place. And maybe it just took a little bit longer to establish those relationships.
We're a big company, and, you know, a big company has a lot more concerns than other companies. And, I mean, we've seen it, right? I mean, with Yahoo getting into Daily, I mean, you just all the headlines. And, you know, and obviously when there was rumors about a DraftKings ESPN or DraftKings Disney deal, you know, it was in the Wall Street Journal, and, you know, and there was leaks and everything like that. And, you know, listen, I still haven't seen the deal. I actually have no idea how true, you know, I know the press releases that you guys have read. Like, it's not like I have, it's not like Bob Iger is calling me up and asking my opinion on these kind of things. And literally those decisions are made at the Bob Iger level. So, I mean, it's that, you know, it's that big a deal. So obviously, you know, Bob Iger and John Skipper and the people that work for them have lots of concerns when they're talking about the brands of Disney and the brands of ESPN beyond just what, you know, somebody like me in the fantasy space and somebody like you in the daily fantasy space care about. You know, we're looking at it very myopically, but, you know, they have to look at it literally from a global brand standpoint, and how does it affect every other piece of their business. And so, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, multi-billion-dollar companies like that and a huge global brands like ESPN and Disney, you want to take your time and make sure you get it right. And so, I'm excited because I feel like they have, and I know they have, and I know all of us here at ESPN are very excited about the partnership with DraftKings.
I think one of my favorite panels at this last FSTA was the one that was talking about fantasy sports and broadcasting. Big shock, you know, considering what I do.
yeah.
But Seth, the producer over there at Fantasy Football Now,
Seth Markman, who is our, just to clarify, so Seth Markman, he is the senior coordinating producer of all of our NFL studio shows. So in addition to overseeing Fantasy Football Now, he oversees Monday Night Countdown, Sunday NFL Countdown, NFL Live, NFL Insiders. Every NFL studio show you see on an ESPN platform reports up under Seth. So he's a very important person, you know, in both in television, in sports television, and obviously specifically here at ESPN.
And I'm not saying
Seth Markman spoke at the FSTA.
Yes, he did. And I'm not saying this to suck up to you or him or, you know, dog somebody else out, but it was really interesting and almost encouraging to hear somebody look back at maybe some decisions that they made and question whether or not it was the right one. You know, talking about about fantasy sports in general, in terms of how much exposure it should have been given, and maybe them, you know, him not allocating enough time to it. I thought it was so refreshing to hear that and so honest. And, you know, you heard kind of the CBS executive talk about fantasy sports and certainly daily fantasy sports, and there wasn't that same connection there. So I'm really excited to kind of see what you guys do. But he was really complimentary towards you in that panel. And one of the quotes that I found absolutely interesting is, I'm going to read it here. It says, "I'm actually starting to wonder sometimes, do people want to hear more about Matthew's opinion on games coming up, or do they want to hear more from Tom Jackson or Chris Carter? I don't know. It's becoming at least a question in my mind, which is a long way from where we were 10 years ago." So first question for you is, what's your Sunday mornings going to be? I mean, how many different platforms are you going to be on with ESPN? And then the second part of that is, do you think that at any point in time that, you know, some of these analysts who deal more in what's happening on the field are going to resent the fact that, you know, we've got the fantasy sports guy getting some of their screen time? Do you expect to have any sort of conflicts with that?
So two very good questions there. I'll answer them in order. So the first question was what my Sunday mornings are going to look like, right?
Yes.
And so this came out as part of that panel that was announced. So I'm going to be busy on Sunday mornings. I'm really flattered. By the way, and Seth Markman is awesome. I mean, to your point about him being candid, like, there was no BS about him on that panel. Like, he is a nice guy. He's a smart guy. He's really good at his job. And he is fantasy friendly. Like, I talked about this. When I came to ESPN, I sort of quickly did an inventory. I met with a lot of people here, a lot of stakeholders, the people that run various shows. And I quickly determined fantasy friendly, not fantasy friendly. And like I knew like where I had, because my job when I first came to ESPN was to try to get fantasy content onto our various platforms, because there were certain shows that didn't believe it belonged there and blah blah blah. And if you care more about the struggle, read my book Fantasy Life. But anyway, but the point is that Seth is the real deal. Like he's not just, you know, looking at a bunch of numbers, but you know, Seth is somebody who, you know, I don't know, last 6 years started playing fantasy and was suddenly like, I get it. And I thought, yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was very, very candid and refreshing him to talk about some of the missteps that ESPN made, you know, whatever, a decade ago in terms of fantasy. But he is the real deal and truly loves fantasy, gets it, plays daily. He plays daily. He plays season long. He's in a couple of different season long leagues, and he plays daily as well. And so I think you'll see, you know, he's a man of his word. Like he's just not. So I think you will see a significant amount of both fantasy content, and I think you'll see three things. I think you'll see a significant amount of fantasy content. I think you'll see a significant amount of daily fantasy content. And I think you'll see a significant amount of content that isn't necessarily labeled daily or fantasy, but will be very useful to a fantasy player, whether you're daily or season long, in terms of some of our analysts. You know, Chris Carter does not play fantasy sports, but Chris Carter is, you know, fantastic, right? I mean, mm-hmm. He, you know, in addition to being one of the greatest wide receivers ever to play, like, this is a guy that, like, knows every person in the league, like, you know, texts everyone, like, can break down the X's and O's as well as anyone. So I think, you know, can you see, and I'm making it up here, but, you know, I think you'll see a scenario where Chris Carter will talk about specific matchups more, you know, and be like, this is a wide receiver that I think can win this matchup with this DB, and here's why. And so, you know, Chris is not necessarily going to talk about, like, and he's a good price on DraftKings, or I'm starting him this week. But I think if you're paying attention, and certainly if you're listening to this podcast, you're not some casual player, you'll be able to take that information from Chris and be like, okay, now I know, you know, and take that and apply it to whether you're playing daily or season long. So I think you'll see a lot of those things. In terms of my Sunday mornings, so I'm going to be one of the featured members of Sunday NFL Countdown. So that is our flagship show, our signature show on ESPN. So, you know, with Chris Berman, Tom Jackson, Coach Ditka, Chris Carter, Keyshawn Johnson, you know, Schefter and Mort. So I'll be a part of that show. There'll still be pieces of me on Fantasy Football Now. We're talking about that exactly now. Like, you know, do I tape some pieces? Do I come over for the final half hour or something like that? We're trying to figure out exactly what that will look at. But I believe I'll have a presence on Fantasy Football Now as well. And some of our other, I don't know if it's public yet, so I don't know that I can say it, but we have some other Sunday morning programming that will be happening that isn't necessarily fantasy specific, but we'll have big fantasy elements, and I'll be a part of that as well. So if you're watching an ESPN channel on Sunday morning, chances are you're going to see a decent amount of me. So that's really exciting, just the fact that we've previously had, I've done segments on Sunday NFL Countdown ever since. Have come to ESPN, but it's usually like around the inactives, and then I give, you know, some sleepers and busts. I react to the inactives. It's, you know, it's a couple of minutes of a segment, and that's pretty much it. So this is going to be much more robust, much more ingrained, and so, you know, there will be a fantasy analyst on our flagship show, which is, you know, what Seth talked about at the FFCA panel, and, you know, I'm obviously really flattered and honored that they're giving that opportunity to me.
But do you think that the other hosts... I still think that from time to time people look down on fantasy who don't
sure.
play it. And I wonder, will the enthusiasm by Berman and Ditka, who probably don't play fantasy sports or certainly know that much about it, is it going to be there? And will they resent having you a part of a show, which for the longest time, it really wasn't a big presence?
I guess we'll find out, right? You know, listen,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't expect you to throw him under the bus. I understand that.
Right.
We don't know.
I mean, I guess we don't know. I can only tell you this. I can only tell you that in my interactions with them, with all those guys, whether it is on camera or off camera, you know, because we all watch the football games together.
Yeah.
So myself and Tim Hasselbeck and Stefania and, you know, Robert and Sarah, the cast of Fantasy Football Now, we go into the same room and watch all the games Sunday afternoon that you know, Boomer and TJ and Key and CeCe and everyone, you know, Mort and Adam, we all watch together along with Seth Markman, along with all the producers of the various shows. There's about 30 of us, and we watch football together every Sunday, and they've been doing it for, you know, 30 years or whatever. I've done it with them for the last 7 or 8 now, and since 2007, I guess, whatever that is. So, and I can tell you that in the few times where I've done some stuff, like occasionally I'll do something with like Keyshawn or CC, like on NFL Live or something like that. I certainly do a decent amount with Morton Schefter. I can tell you that, and even just, you know, when we watch the games together, they couldn't be more professional and more respectful of me. You know, Boomer's take to me has always been, I don't play it, but I know it's popular and I get it. And, you know, I know you sit here and you watch all the games and you know, you do your homework. So he's always been very respectful and very gracious to me, frankly, more than he needs to be. I mean, he's Boomer, right? Mm-hmm. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's a legend. So he's always, you know, and all of them at various times have been like, have offered to, you know, whether it's give me some information that doesn't really help them, but they know would be useful for fantasy, you know. They're definitely, I mean, Boomer talks to every, people don't realize this, Boomer talks to like every coach and GM, and he'll say, like, I don't want to out any of his sources, but it'll be like, hey, I was talking to, name of a big head coach, talking to blah, 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 and he's telling me watch out for so-and-so, you know. Mm-hmm. He's like, that'll be helpful for fantasy. I'm like, very much so. Thanks, Boom. You know what I mean? Like, so he'll do stuff, yeah, like that. Same with, you know, Schefter, Mort, or you know, Key or CC or Coach or any of those guys. They're always very, you know, so at least to my face, in, you know, behind the scenes, they're very like kind of the attitude, not for me, but my kids play it, or, you know, fans approach me about it all the time. I understand how popular it is. I understand that we need somebody that does it, you know, and so, you know,
I'd love to see those guys try daily. I think it would actually fit their lifestyle a lot better than grinding season long, personally. But
yeah, and I think they'd be very good at it, and I think they'd enjoy it. I mean, you know, the amount of knowledge that those guys have. I mean, it's just, it's really amazing. Like, you don't, sometimes you see it on TV, and sometimes you don't get to see it as much because of the various ways. But like, they're all so connected, whether it's, you know, whether it's somebody like Schefter or Mort, with all their contacts, or, you know, guys like CC and Key that like talk to every player in the league and are constantly texting with people, and like the stuff that they know is just like, you know, really amazing. And, you know, just because of the limitations of television, the amount of time, they don't always get to get all those nuggets out, and sometimes they don't, you know, fit that kind of thing. Like, I don't know if this is the best example here, but like, you know, So last year, it's one of those things. It's like they knew long before it became public that Zach Stacy had fallen out of favor in St. Louis, and that Benny Cunningham was actually, you know, remember at the beginning of the year, you know, everyone was like, oh, Zach Stacy, and like Trey Mason was sort of an afterthought, and it looked like Benny Cunningham, you know, was going to be the number two, and they knew well before that, like, Zach Stacy had fallen somewhat out of favor in St. Louis. But just because of the nature of ESPN and some of those programs, like the St. Louis Rams and their running back situation was not a big topic at the start of the year last year for some of our NFL shows,
sure,
right? It's just, you know, in terms of what the average NFL, obviously that's a big storyline for fantasy players, and we talked about it on the podcast and on Fantasy World Now a lot, but, you know, that's a storyline now that I think, you know, at the beginning of last year would not have made it into the show, and I think this year that storyline would.
Okay,
you know, whether it's coming from my voice or from Schefter or from somebody, like, you know, so I think you'll see stuff like that. You know, I think you'll, in terms of the types of stories and the types of names that get mentioned, you know, I think that'll be it as well.
Okay, I got a lot of stuff still to get here. Tell the suits.
I ramble.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Tell the suits, I don't watch ESPN Classic. I don't think I've ever watched ESPN Classic. So,
right,
how about, what is the chances, let's throw a timetable on this, in the next 5 years, we either see that channel or maybe a new channel sprout up called ESPN Fantasy, where it's devoted completely to fantasy sports. Do you see that as a possibility at the four-letter?
Sure. Anything's possible. They're always looking at stuff. Personally, if I'm asked, I would not recommend it.
Okay.
I mean,
why is that?
I don't know that there's an audience to support a 24/7 fantasy sports television network. I just don't know in terms of a business model, you know what I
honestly
mean? Like,
I think it, and I don't say this
daily
because
helps.
I'm involved.
Daily helps.
That is
daily
going,
helps because
yes.
of baseball and
basketball.
Daily certainly, Bailey certainly helps make that case. But I just don't see that audience. Yeah, I mean, first off, I mean, you know, people are moving more and more online anyway for their, you know, information.
Absolutely.
You know, to support a broadcast network. I mean, listen, my dear friends, you know, shout out to Lou Mayone and Nando DeFino. You know, they're trying to start the, you know, the Fantasy Sports Network. They've got it out there. So there is a 24/7 fantasy sports, not just daily, but just, you know, a broadcast television network, you know, and I know they're on in Cablevision, and they're looking at other distribution, and I think they're on Roku, and, you know, so I mean, like, you know, Lou and Nando are really smart guys, and I like them a lot. I've known them both for a long time and consider them both good friends. And so we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, if there's a viable business there, those guys will find it. I'm not 1,000% convinced that I think it would work during football season. I'm not convinced it works during non-football season for a 24/7 broadcast network.
Yeah, I think it's way too early for it, but I think if the trajectory of Daily Fantasy continues along this path, you're looking at content that's 365 days a year, which is ultimately what you'd need for something like that. So I hate to kind of sound like the Daily Fantasy homer here, but ultimately I think that would be the big driver of whether or not something like that can be successful. Let's get to
and
you.
And by the way, Dan. Yes. Dan, by the way, let's be very clear here. Never say that. Never say I hate to sound like the Daily Fantasy Homer. You are a Daily Fantasy Homer. Freaking embrace it, brother. Embrace it. You are a Daily Fantasy Homer. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. We need more guys like that. So absolutely embrace it. Like, same thing, man. I'm a fantasy football guy. Like, I embrace it. I'm not trying to be anything that I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, just embrace it. So, yeah, never apologize, my friend.
How much Daily Fantasy do you play? And I'll throw something out there. Big tournament on DraftKings. Only, $1 million to first place if you pick the right golf lineup. Like, are you going to build a lineup for golf this weekend?
I am. Now, the next question is, do you know anything about fantasy golf? And the answer is no, I don't. Not one thing. So I'm looking at, you know, I have some friends. I have some friends at Roto Grinders. I have, you know, friends at Fantasy Insiders, friends at Daily Roto. We do some daily fantasy golf here at ESPN.com. So I will cobble together a lineup. I'll throw a couple of lineups in there just for grins and giggles, as it were, a phrase that I can use on the podcast. You know, and just you know, sure, I'll try. You know, but I don't know anything about fantasy golf. I dabble in daily fantasy. I play hardcore during football season. I play every weekend. I every once in a while I'll do a baseball or a basketball thing. There's a group of us here at ESPN, like 10 of us, and that we all play just sort of privately, meet myself and some other just ESPN management types, and we'll just sort of so we'll play like kind of a private league amongst us. We were doing it daily for basketball for a while. So I did that, and then I would do baseball every once in a while. But I'm not so first off, like my screen name is private, obviously. I don't publicize but we will see.
If you want $1 million, you better let us know.
Oh, yeah, of course. But I've won some big pots. I haven't won like crazy big pots, like, but I've won some like decent, I've won like a $1,000 pot here. I've won like a, you know, a $1,500 pot here. So I've won some decent, you know, GPPs, and I haven't publicized it yet. And it's partially because of like ESPN was in the, you know, at the time that I did those, ESPN was in the midst of trying to figure out where they were in the daily fantasy space. And we're talking with a bunch of different companies, and we didn't want it to appear as if I was promoting, you know, a certain one, or not. But I think with this DraftKings deal, we'll see. I think, at some point I will be able to basically say, here's my username. And by the way, when you see my username, you'll be like, oh, duh. Like, it's not super hard to figure out. I think
Crocodile
really...
Dundee.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Paul P. Hogan. it'll make sense when you see it. Like, it's not, and I'm okay. You know what I mean? Like, and so, the truth of the matter is that, you know, I mean, I've certainly won money. I don't grind it out. Like, so I just don't have time the way that a Condia or a, you know, or a Drew Dinkmeyer, or, you know, some of these guys, or Peter Jennings. I don't have the time to set 100 lineups, to set 1,000 lineups, to, you know, to enter a ton, you know, and just sort of grind it out. I don't. So when I enter, I mostly enter GPPs. You know what I mean? Which is obviously you're going to have a low percentage of wins. And, you know, I just sort of like swing for the fences of that kind of stuff. Because, you know, it's not my, you know, in the case of some of those guys that I just mentioned, like, that's how they make their living, right? I make my living a different way. I make my living doing fantasy content for ESPN, and they don't pay me to play on a daily fantasy site. So I do it for fun, and I do it, you know, I'll throw in a lineup. But, you know, to be very candid with you, Dan, like, honestly, what I would do is I would, last year, like during commercial breaks on Fantasy Bowl Now, I would enter lineups. You know, I would just on my mobile phone. Like, I have the app on my phone, sure. And I would just like sit there and be like, oh, that looks a good price. Like, with, I don't want to say no thought, but, you know, literally I'm setting lineups in 30 seconds. Like, ah, let's do that. Like, you know, oh, there's $1 million up. You know, sure, we'll take a shot at that. Why not?
And you know what? You fall into the group of 95% of the people who play the game. I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They're casual players.
Right. So, I mean, I don't want to sit here and pretend that I am a, you know, I'll be very candid. You know, I don't want to sit here and pretend that I am a hardcore daily fantasy player. I don't want to claim to be something that I'm not. What I think I am, however, is I think I'm somebody who understands fantasy very well. I do understand daily fantasy. I truly believe that if I needed to or wanted to make a living doing daily fantasy, that I could easily grind it out and do very well, you know, using sort of that method, right? It's just, you know, not something I sort of need to do or, frankly, have the time to do, given you know, my schedule during the football season. I mean, I work 7 days a week during football season. I'm on TV literally 6 out of the 7 days of the week. Saturday's the only day I get, you know, to see my family. So it just, and that, by the way, that's not a complaint. You know, no one's playing violins for me, but I'm just, you know, like, I think to do it right, like, that's the amount of respect I have for the players that are really good at daily fantasy. Like, you need to, you know, you need to really sort of, you know, grind it out and you know, really do the research and munch that. So I think you'll see me do a lot more daily, and I'll certainly be much more public. You guys can track me and see how I do this here. But yeah, so that's, you know, that's my answer to, do I play daily fantasy?
Now, a lot of us, including myself, you know, I'm kind of in this industry, you know, in our own little bubble here, and it's hard for us to look at things from the outside. You're somebody who, again, plays it casually. You've got an audience of people via Twitter, other social networks that, you know, probably jump in and play daily fantasy for the first time. Tell me something about it that, you know, you think that maybe the industry can improve upon that we don't necessarily talk about so much because we're so entrenched in it, and we might view it differently than someone like yourself or an outsider who might follow you.
I think the biggest thing you guys can do is I think make it more less scary. And here's what I mean by that. So it's a very insular world, right? Daily fantasy is. And, you know, I mean, so it's like, you know, I think somebody coming to the first, like, what's a GPP? What's a, you know, like, all these terms, like, you know, even like, what's a contrarian play? What's a stack? What's a, you know, all these kind of, like, I think to somebody coming new to it, it's just sort of like, wait, what's all this? Like, you guys have a, I say you guys, like, I'm not part of it. Like, I feel like I'm part of the daily fantasy community. I think I'm a small part of the daily fantasy community because of someone been limited, but I feel like, you know, Dan, I mean, you can tell me, and you can disagree with me wrong, but I feel like I, hopefully, certainly among the people that do what I do at a major level, and by that I mean somebody that works for a major media company, I feel like I was pretty early. You know, I had the deal with Draft Street way back in the day, so I want to say that was 2009 that I started with Draft Street, either 2008 or 2000, might have been 2009 or 2010. Yeah, probably 2009 or 2010 that I started with Draft Street. So, I mean, like, I've been promoting daily fantasy well before it was cool, you know, in playing it, at least on some level. And then, you know, Draft Street got bought by DraftKings, and I had to go underground for a whole, you know, it was a whole thing. But anyway, but I'm looking forward to, you know, playing again and playing publicly and, you know, being out there this fall. But I think for a lot of people, and this is one of the things that we talk about just in terms of fantasy football in general, right? Because one of my jobs is to try to get more people to play fantasy football, just fantasy sports. And I think there's some trepidation about people not wanting to look dumb. No one likes to look dumb, right? You certainly don't want to lose money, but you don't want to even just look dumb, right? You know, there's no worse feeling than, you know, and you've all seen people do this probably, like in a fantasy football draft, the person that, you know, takes a kicker in the seventh round or drafts the guy that's, you know, now out for the year because they came to the they came to the draft with a magazine instead of an updated cheat sheet, you know, and they don't realize that, you know, so-and-so is going to miss the first, you know, 8 weeks of the season or something like that. And so no one likes to look stupid, and I think there's just so many sort of terms that get thrown away, that get thrown so much around in daily fantasy that it's sort of scary. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think people under. I mean,
we have our own vernacular. About, you know, the way that we talk to each other, and somebody who does a radio show on Sirius XM, I get caught up in it. People will call me up and ask, "What does this mean?" And it's I get lost in it myself because you don't even think about it because we've been talking about, you know, in this sort of language ourselves for so long, but I think that's a fair criticism.
Yeah, and so I just think it becomes sort of intimidating, and then you start thinking about, like, and then it just gets sort of so, and I think there's a bit of, and this happens on Twitter sometimes, people wanting to show off, and so you're talking about it, and then you're just sitting there like, well, frig, like, I don't know, I think I'm pretty smart, but I don't know, Drew Dinkmeyer's got algorithms and stuff, like, what? You know, like... I don't know, this St. Louis Cards 84 dude, like, what? I'm not taking that guy on. Like, this seemed fun in the commercials, but now I get here and it's like, it's dark and crazy and I don't know, I'm not that smart. I don't need to lose my money this way. Thank you, goodbye. Like, so I think there needs to be more. I mean, if you're asking me what I think the daily fantasy community, I think make it more mainstream, make it more palatable, make it more easy to understand and to play, you know? And so I think, that's always been something that I've tried to do with my career and sort of my content is, you know, take complex or at least semi-complex ideas and make them sort of simple and mainstream. Like, if you were to ask me, like, you know, what are the 3-5 things you do best, like, that's one of the things I think I do the best.
Okay.
In terms of my skill set. Like, that's one thing that I take things that might seem somewhat obscure or nerdy or niche and make them a little bit more mainstream, more palatable, more digestible.
Okay, I want to now talk a little bit about you. I know.
Sure.
Yes. You have grinded your way up, maybe not in daily fantasy, but in the the whole industry itself, from working at Roto World and making $200 a week to,
Hundred. I never made 200. What kind of crazy talking? Well, I made $100 at my height.
Sorry. It's not my fault. So, I mean, you've grinded your way along, but a lot of people look at you and say, man, he's got the greatest job in the world. He gets to talk and write about fantasy sports. What do you say to those people who would like to have a career in that? Especially now, because the way that people digest fantasy sports content is way different today than it was when you got started. What kind of advice would you give to people?
I mean, I think it depends. Like, I think it depends on sort of what kind of career you want, right? And what you want to do. So, I mean, there's tons of pieces of advice, I guess. And I would also say, by the way, it depends on whether you in daily fantasy or regular fantasy, or season long. Like, sort of what you want your niche to be. I guess one thing I would say that's super important is that you need to be able to communicate, and you need to be able to communicate on multiple levels. I don't care if you have the best algorithm, the greatest research, you can break down X's and O's better than anyone else, unbelievable scouting, what have you. If you can't communicate those ideas effectively and across various mediums, like, you're just not going to succeed. Like, the research is only part of it, right? So get good at communicating, which seems very simple and obvious, but you'd be amazed at how many people aren't. You've seen us, look, you know, you reference it, right? So you've seen Cynthia now on SportsCenter. You've seen, you've seen that we've added Derek and Renee to our digital offerings. Derek's been doing some baseball tonight. He's also done a little bit of SportsCenter. And I know that, ESPN is always looking. We're always looking, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw, some other familiar faces to the DFS community on our airwaves one way or the other come fall. But, one of those things is, all those people, can communicate effectively. I think we all know, Derek has great algorithms and has had tremendous success and, has, a track record in terms of his work with Fantasy Insiders and everything like that. But Derek's also good on TV. You know what I mean? And if you watch him on Baseball Tonight, it's different being good on TV and being able to, hey, Derek, you've got a minute and a half or 45 seconds to give us three pitchers tonight that you like. And that's a very different skill set to be able to do that than it is to be able to say, to write a column. And that's a different skill set than it is to be able to do a spree cast. And he does a 1 hour, from 6 to 7, he does a spree cast for us here at ESPN.com. And that's a different skill set than going on a podcast. And for me, being able to talk for a minute and a half on Sunday Night for Countdown is different than doing 2 hours on Fantasyville Now, which is different than doing a 45-minute podcast, and so on and so forth. So being able to communicate on many different levels, I think, is important, right? And whether you're doing a podcast for Roto Grinders, or you're doing a TV show for ESPN, or you're writing a column for your own blog, or whatever it is, even tweeting in 140 characters, right? Getting your thoughts across in 140 characters is different than writing a whole column about why you like somebody. So I think that's my biggest piece of advice, is learn how to communicate. My other piece of advice would be is to, find your own style. And is to find your own style and, keep working at it. There's no conspiracy theory to keep good people out. Mm-hmm. If you're good, I promise you will find, whether it's us or, Yahoo or you guys or something, if you're good, people will find you, I promise you, and you will be able to make a living at this. And so, just get good, which I know sounds well, that's not great advice either, but too many people are worried about, how do I get on ESPN? I'm like, don't worry about ESPN. Just get good, because trust me, if you're good, you'll find your way here, or if not here, you'll find your way somebody else. There's absolutely no conspiracy theory, and so too many people, get that first opportunity and they try immediately to come to ESPN or somewhere else and they're not ready. And then we're done with them. I'll never forget this. When I was starting out in show business, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was from the late Sam Simon, the creator of The Simpsons, who came to speak at my college. And I remember asking about this, how do you get on The Simpsons? And he had the same advice. He's like, look, just get good. He's like, look, I'll read a script. He's like, but I'm going to read one script. He's like, because I got a stack of scripts. I got 500 scripts in my office from all people that want to write for The Simpsons. He's like, and so I read it, and I want it to be good. I want it to be great. He's like, but I read it, and generally it isn't, and then I'm done. And I'm not going to read another script from that person if they're like, oh, I wasn't ready yet, but here now it's good, because I've got 499 other scripts to read. So most people will read one thing or look at one thing, but you want to make sure when you take that shot that you're ready for it.
That's great advice.
I'll do it.
Great advice.
Yeah, Dan, I'll do it. People ask me all the time, and I've one of the things I'm most proud of in my career is that I have hired a number of people that got their shot with me now make full-time livings in the fantasy sports industry. And I've, whether it's, through an introduction, here or there, but I've given a boost or in many cases actually hired a lot of people, that started with my old Talented Man's Roto website when I was running ESPN here, and now to this day, I introduce various people. I introduced a lot of people to ESPN from the daily fantasy sports community as we're looking to get more into that area. And, I'm happy to do that. Because people did that for me. Matthew Pugliot of Roto World gave me my first shot, and Rick Wolf was very supportive of me early on. So I'm very happy to do that for people, but I do it once. So if somebody says, listen to my podcast, read my column, this kind of stuff, and if I read it once and I'm done, then I'm just like, ah,
Yeah.
And this, I'll give you one other thing about this. The one other piece of advice I can give, and this also goes to sort of me, right, is don't be a jerk. Like, and maybe I'm more susceptible to this because of just my position or whatever. Like, you know, so there are definitely people that will take shots at me on Twitter, you know, in a column, on a podcast, this kind of stuff. And invariably, it always reaches me. Whether somebody sends it to me, whether I see it on my Twitter feed, whether somebody retweets it to me, you know, whatever. It always winds up crossing my, you know, purview. And then I'll block that person. And the reason I'll block that person is not because I have thin skin, although to be honest, I kind of have thin skin. But mostly the reason I do it is because I want to know this actually happened. So there was a person, I won't embarrass this person's name, person by saying this, but there was a person whose stuff I came across that I thought was really good. And I wanted to, and I thought this person would be interesting for a role that we had open at ESPN. And so I was going to, and they asked, they reached out to me. They reached out to me and they'd said, hey, will you look at my stuff? And I looked and I was like, yeah. So I'll make the introduction and everything like that. So I'm researching them. And then I realized I blocked them. I went to Twitter and I realized I had blocked this person. And I went and looked and I found like 6 months earlier, the guy had taken a shot at me. And I'm just like, no, like that. So, you know, like, no, I'm not going to help some guy that's like taking a shot at me and now like, you know, just trying to suck up to me. Like, I do it so that I know, like, all right, that guy is not a friend or everything like that. And so, whatever. I mean, I'm sure that person will be fine. But ultimately, like, for some dumb tweet, he could still hate me. But, like, keep it to yourself, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you never, the burning of the bridges. Like, you never know when you're going to cross paths with somebody.
You never know. And that guy, for one tweet, like, I hope that tweet was worth it. Like, you know, that guy legitimately cost himself a shot at ESPN.
Wow.
Now, I don't know whether he would have gotten hired or not, but certainly he's not on anyone else's radar at ESPN. He was on my radar because he reached out to me and because I'm, you know, accessible like this. And so I read his stuff and initially liked it and was going to make an introduction and give a recommendation. And then upon doing a little bit more research, I didn't know, like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. And so, and you can say that's petty of me, and maybe it is. I don't know. But, like, you know, I don't know. Do you want to help people that, like, you know, talk trash about you?
No.
Like, I don't know if, you know, I don't. So, just be careful on social media. I think it's not even necessarily, like, my advice is, like, don't make fun of me. But, like, my advice is just in general, just realize that social media and the internet never forget. And, like, there's absolutely no upside to trashing me, to trashing ESPN, to trashing Yahoo, to trashing CBS, to trashing NFL, to trashing anyone, you know, in the industry or whatever, because it's just like, it's not worth it. It's absolutely not worth it. The internet never forgets. And, it's also sort of a litmus test, right? Because at least for somebody here at ESPN, like when we hire you, we're basically saying we are entrusting our brand to you. We're going to put you in front of a live microphone. We're going to put you in front of, you know, potentially a TV camera or a radio microphone, something like that. And we're going to trust that you're not going to do anything to embarrass or tarnish our brand. And so if we see on social media or something like that, oh, well, this guy's being, not being very bright, then it's just like, well, if they can't even, you know, quote unquote, protect their own brand, you know, then, you know, what happens when we expose them to more people and more vitriol and, you know, read my Twitter feed sometime. Read my at mentions on a Sunday morning.
I can't get over how spot on that is. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I'm so thankful that you kind of brought that forth, because I think that it's easy for people to sometimes get caught up on Twitter to try and get retweets, try to get favorites, and not think about the long-term potential repercussions, especially if you want to kind of get a job in this industry, what can come of that. So I'm glad you pointed that out. This is important, though, because you've been at Fantasy 16 years. I believe you've got a contract coming up fairly soon at ESPN, maybe at the end of the year. Do you see a time where you get bored with it? You finally say, you know what? I've done enough. I've written a book. I've been on TV. I'm running out of column ideas, and just walk away from fantasy sports to pursue something else that you're passionate about?
Never say never. I quit one career already in terms of show business. Right now, I feel like I have I feel like I've got the best job in the industry. I guess so. Sure. There's always that potential. Right now, I don't feel it. Like, I love it. Certainly daily fantasy has invigorated, I think, the industry and just sort of the sport of fantasy in a big way. So I'm very excited to see where that goes. And so I'm sort of excited. I'm actually re-energized. Like, I'm excited about this upcoming season. I think there's new challenges, and I suppose there's always a chance. But, you know what, honestly, like, I do enough sort of outside stuff where mm-hmm. I sort of dabble that sort of keeps my non-quote-unquote fantasy interests alive. I mean, I'll give you two quick examples. So, I mean, the Fantasy Movie League thing.
Yes.
I own a piece of that, and we started that, and I have a, carve out from ESPN for that. So fantasymovieleague.com. And there's a whole group of us, that sort of the DFS community, that Al Smizzle, if you guys know him on Twitter, obviously.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So Al started a group, and so he's a friend, and I'm in that group, by the way. And I'm number one in that group. There's 71 of us playing in that group of all these DFS sharks. And me, Mr. Mainstream TMR, number one, FYI.
You need to add the financial component to that.
Saying. Well, it is. I mean, it's basically daily fantasy sports. I mean, I think the people that are listening to this podcast would really enjoy it. I mean, it's basically a daily fantasy sports model, obviously without the money, but in essence, you have an 8-screen Cineplex,
yes.
And every movie has a price. So we use daily fantasy sports scoring or style, if you will. Basically, it's a salary cap format where you fill out your screens, your movie theater screens, every single week. You have $1,000 of Fantasy Movie League money, and every, Ant-Man is like 480 this week, and Minions is like 453, and so you figure out, like, do I want to go double here? Do I, start
DFS for movies?
Middle
That's
of
what
pack?
It is.
It is. It is DFS for movies, and every week it resets, and so the every week it resets, and most money at the end of the summer wins, and new leagues start every week, and you can do a league starting from like week 10 on, and so you see. Anyway, it's all free to play, and check it out. And so that's been fun to sort of launch that and do that. I have there's an app that's based on my book on Fantasy Life. Like, if you search the App Store right now on iOS and Android for Fantasy Life, you'll see it's a free app. So that's been fun, working with the app developer guys, giving my feedback on that. They licensed the right to the name of the, and it's, so I've been involved in that. That's been really fun. Free app. Check that out. And the stuff that I do with rotopass.com as well. So, both rotopassbaseball.com and rotopass.com for all your daily and season-long needs. So those things have all sort of kept me interested, but... I think anything's possible, but I love my job.
I'm gonna put this out there. The next 3 years, you will be on Dancing with the Stars. Yes, you will be invited. Your star is rising. Fantasy is becoming a big deal. You're gonna be on Sunday Countdown. The invitation will be there, and it doesn't hurt that you're a great personality too. So I'm telling you, if they asked you to do it, would you do it?
Oh, sure. I'm a publicity whore. I'm a company man. I'm a publicity whore, please. Of course, I would totally do that, assuming it wasn't during football season. But I don't know. For some reason, I don't see. I could see me getting asked to do a reality show. For some reason, I don't see Dancing with the Stars. But you never say never. Who knows? It'd be great. It would be a lot of fun, obviously.
TV.
I'm all about trying to make fantasy mainstream.
Well, Fantasy Life.
More, that's
the book. Yeah. It's. It's got Hollywood written all over it. We've got, what is it, a TV show or a made-for-TV movie that's supposed to be coming of this? Chris Connolly of Entourage, I heard, is going to play you. I don't know if he looks like
Kevin
you.
Connolly.
Kevin Connolly.
Sorry. Certainly doesn't look like me. So, you're right. Fox bought the rights to the book, developed a pilot. We shot a pilot this fall. Kevin Connolly played me. Vanessa Williams played the boss. Christopher McDonald, Shooter McGavin. himself had a big role in the really, really funny. It ended up not getting picked up by Fox.
Oh.
So there's talk about redeveloping it. Fox still really likes the premise, and they like the book, they like the title, they like a lot of things about it. They just didn't love the execution of the pilot. So there's talk about trying to find new writers and take another shot at it. So we'll see where. So it's not dead. But it's not going to be on the fall schedule.
Last thing, two things I got. One, what was it like going on Stern? Last time I had you on this podcast, you talked about how much of an influence he kind of was on you as a broadcaster. I have to imagine that had to be one of the most exciting things you'd ever really been asked to do in your life, considering how much you've, you know, followed his career and as big of a fan as you were. Talk a little bit about that experience. And also, was it kind of weird when he asked to meet your wife? Because I just have to think that it would be, you know, you might be sweating bullets a little bit when that kind of happens, just with how, you know, Howard can, how personally he can get with things.
So it was awesome meeting Stern. So I've now been on the Stern show 3 times. I hope I get to go on again. It was amazing. True bucket list moment. I'm a massive, massive Howard fan. If you've read me at all, you know, and you and I have talked about Dan. And one of the things I admire about Howard so much is how honest he is. Howard is, so that was a bucket list moment. It was great. I was most honored about going back the second time. Mm-hmm. Like, getting on the first time was super cool. But, you know, I'm so nervous and everything like that. The second time was even better because I felt like, I was like, oh, well, I clearly didn't screw up the first time if I'm getting asked back the second time. Because Howard's not a sport, I mean, forget fantasy. Howard's not a sports fan.
Yeah.
So, it was like a major miracle, you know, and I wrote about this in the book as well, just about how I sort of got on the show. I wrote a column about it as well. You know, when I was talking with Gary Delabate, Baba Booey, you know, the producer of the show, Gary was like, listen, I like the idea. I think it's a long shot, but I'll pitch it to Howard. We'll see. I'll fight for you. We'll see. You know, so, you know, Gary didn't even think Howard would go for it, but, you know, he did. And so it was great. And so it was just amazing being on it. And obviously, you know, just, you know, so for me, it was, you know, one of the top 5, you know, experiences of my life, just being, you know, having that on my resume, having done it, you know, the fact that I have a picture of me and Howard, like all of it, it's just great. So, I got a lot of great feedback from my appearances on the show, which has been great, and they seem to like me a lot there. And I've now become, you know, legitimate friends with a lot of the people that work on that show, which is cool. And obviously, I play in a fantasy league with a number of them. So that's been great. In terms of my wife, I actually brought Beth because I thought, listen, I think my wife is very pretty, and it's it never hurts to show up to Stern with an attractive woman, and. You know, listen, because I didn't know, especially that first time, like, who knows, like, fantasy sports, you could get bored. I could be out of there in 10 minutes. So I'm like trying to bring every trick I got in the bag, you know what I mean? Like, to extend the interview and stay there longer. And so, I thought Beth would be able to handle himself, and I wasn't that worried about it. I sort of asked Gary before I went on about that, and, you know, I just said, look, I don't care, and actually Beth doesn't even care, but, you know, we have kids. And Gary said, like, if Howard goes too far, he says, just say, you know, you don't want to answer because of your kids, and Howard will shut down. He said, Howard's very respectful when it comes to stuff like that. He says, if you mention kids, Howard will immediately shut it down because he won't go there because, you know, he's a family man himself. Howard has 3 daughters. And so, we actually didn't even need to use that, but we sort of had that in our back pocket that Gary sort of gave us that advice that, you know, that was a way to get out of anything we didn't want to answer. But you know, Howard was very respectful actually. And, you know, it was hilarious. So he just, you know, he was very taken with her, and he was just like, you know, like, what's your Facebook? You know, and I'm going to friend you or something like that. And so she, you know, my wife gave it out over the air. And then of course, like, you know, in the next 24 hours, like her just, you know, she had more requests than actual friends. Like, just her inbox exploded. Well, you know, many, many more requests than I got, certainly.
Last thing, it's more of a compliment than a question, and I just really want to thank you for continue to attend all the FSTA conferences, the FSWA awards banquets, and all the stuff that you do for the industry. I mean, you know, obviously are at the pinnacle of it, and it would be easy for somebody like yourself to, you know, kind of look at it and say, hey, I don't need this anymore. And I've been going to conferences for, I think, 2-3 years now, and you have been at every single one of them. And it means a lot to the community, the fantasy community, still see you, you know, support it on that level, and something that you clearly don't have to be a part of, but whether it's, you know, presenting at a panel or an award ceremony, every time you do it, it means a lot to the people who are there participating. So I wanted to really thank you for not forgetting about us. It's important.
Well, you know what, Dan, thank you very much for saying that and acknowledging that. And I appreciate that. That means a lot that you say that and recognize that, because you know what, that's really important to me. And like, I don't miss an FSCA conference. There's a lot of reasons for it, right? I think that, I suppose I could, yes, you're right. I mean, my career is established at this point. I certainly don't quote unquote need the FSTA or whatever, or, you know, the industry, whatever, like, you know, I'm here at ESPN, but I think it's important. I think it's important. I would be resentful of somebody else if they quote big timed it. I mean, I started my career by coming to those FSTA conferences, whatever, 15 years ago. And, you know, like my very first 6 months of writing for Roto World, you know, and passing a business card around and trying to meet people. And, you know, people in the industry were very supportive of me. The FSTA was very supportive of me. The when the FSWA, the Fantasy Sports Writers Association, when they started, they were supportive of me. So I think that stuff's important. And I think it's very important to honor the people that, you know, took a chance on me and helped promote me. I think it's important for me to pay it forward. And, you know, I hope, you know, Dan, that, you know, yourself and other people that, like, when, you know, some kid comes up to you in 2 years ago and says, Dan, Mr. Back, you know, I listen to your podcast every day and I'm getting into the daily space and I want to start my own video cast or whatever. Can I, you know, ask you for some advice? And you'll be like, you bet, kid, come here, sit on a podcast or whatever. Like, I think that stuff's important. And I think it's important for, you know, unfortunately, there's still, as great as the growth of the fantasy industry has been, I think we still have naysayers. We still have people that are trying to fight us. The daily fantasy sports community has certainly their own share of battles going on. And so whatever I can do to help the cause and, you know, and use whatever influence I have, I think that's important. I think that's important to do. And it gives me great pleasure to do so and to be able to give back. And so, I'm happy to do so, but I'm glad that it's, you know, certainly noticed and appreciated, because I'm hopeful that other people will follow in those footsteps as well. So I'm, you know, I try to promote, I promote myself, like I'm a shill, you know, and I'll cop to that. I'm a company man. I make jokes about it, but I'm also a big promoter of just fantasy in general and daily fantasy and the industry and other people. And I've tried to be, you know, very positive, a very, very positive influence, for other people. I've been given a great opportunity, obviously, you know, thanks to ESPN and the platform that ESPN provides. You know, that's a great, you know, responsibility and power and privilege that ESPN gives me. And so it's one that I take very seriously, and it's one that's important to me. And so I'm happy to do whatever I can to further the cause.
Well, he is Matthew Berry, host, of course, Fantasy Focus podcast. We'll see him Sunday Countdown over on ESPN this fall. The Fantasy Life, if you don't have the book already, buy it. It's great. And RotoPass, of course, fantasy football season right around the corner, basically gives you deals on a number of content sites at a nice low price. So check that out, rotopass.com. Matthew, really appreciate it. I know it's an hour of your time. You're a busy man, but it means the world to me and our listeners for you to come on the show. So as always, thank you so much.
It's absolutely my pleasure. I appreciate it. I appreciate everyone that in the daily fantasy community. And like I said, I appreciate everything that you guys at RotoGrinders have done to help that community as well. So congratulations again on a 5-year anniversary to RotoGrinders. And, listen, try not to beat me up too bad on the message boards when I get out there in daily fantasy this fall.
That'll pretty much wrap us up for today. Thank you so much to Matthew Berry for jumping on with us, bringing the biggest names in fantasy sports to you here on this podcast, and so happy to have you guys as a listener of this show. You can find it again, iTunes and Stitcher. I am Dan Bock saying good night. Talk to you again tomorrow here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter @RotoGrinders.